Welcome to Divine Intervention. This is a podcast looking at the very finest and some of the best value South African wines with me, Chua Fraser, and our food and wine guru, Michael Olivier. Sit back, enjoy, and if you've seen what the bottle is, buy one and taste it with us. Welcome back to Divine Intervention, a weekly podcast looking at the finest South African wines and a few good value ones as well. And joining me, John Fraser, on the line from Cape Town, we have our food and wine guru, television chef, writer, cookbook author, all sorts of stuff, Michael Olivier. Michael, great to chat to you again.
Hi, John. Nice to be back.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us again. And once again in the studio for the third and sadly the last time for a short while, we have two of Gauteng's top palates. We have Dino Fagus, the proprietor of Prosopa Restaurant in Pretoria. Dino, welcome.
Thank you, John. Always nice to be here.
You enjoying these tastings?
Absolutely.
Good. Well, I'm glad we managed to get you all the way from Pretoria into Joburg, across that Borivors curtain. And also with me in the Joburg studio, we have another wine fundi, although he does have a day job as one of South Africa's top branding experts, the executive chairman of Interbrand Sampson, Jeremy Sampson. Jeremy, welcome back.
John, always good to be with you.
Are you enjoying these tastings?
Oh, absolutely. It's great fun. And I often think that people, when they sit down for a meal or a dinner, go straight into one wine, rather have a bit of a tasting, actually have some hidden tastings, you know, cover up the labels, have a bit of fun, because it adds to the evening, and you might be surprised to know how much or how little you know about wine.
Well, nothing hidden about this evening's offering. Michael Olivier suggested to me that we try one of the good value blends, and this was on sale in one of the supermarkets, I think for under 30 Rand, £2 if you're listening to us from the UK, a very, very good value wine. Is it going to be horrible? Well, hopefully not. Michael should know his stuff. We're trying the Douglas Green Merlot Malbec 2011. Michael, tell us about the estate. Tell us about the wine.
Well, the Douglas Green has been, this is, I think, the 71st year of the existence of the company, which already says something. And Douglas Green was a chappy bought a company in Paarl called Farrer Brothers in 1942. And he was just an astute guy. He knew where the good vineyards were. He knew where the good winemakers were. He knew what the public wanted to drink. And the company's just gone from strength to strength. And today his son, Douglas Green Jr., still has part of the company, and the heritage of his father's hard work continues. This is a wine which is blended from maybe two of the sort of lesser Bordeaux varieties, Merlot and Malbec. There's 70% Merlot and then obviously 30% Malbec in this wine. The vintage is 2011, and it was a summer that had a lot of high temperatures in the beginning. And when the grapes reached ripeness, there was good sugar, there was great color, and interestingly enough, quite sort of soft tannins as well. And what they did with these wines, they vinified them separately, and then they treated them with oak staves, which is a way of flavoring the wine with oak, but obviously not as expensively as using a barrel. And then they allow the malolactic fermentation to take place, which turns the rather sort of sharp malic acid into a softer lactic acid. And then they blend the wines up. They've got big cellars in Wellington. So you land up with this wine. I mean, it's just so amazing. Lovely screw cap, easy to open, and you glug it into a bottle, and it's got this sort of bright, sort of crimson-coloured centre with some ruby flashings around the edges, and lift it up to your nose, you know, this mass of berries, raspberries, red currants, blackberries, black currants, and lovely blood plums, and just that sort of gentle platform of nice soft oak underneath, really sappy sweet. I mean, obviously it's a dry wine, but it's got that sort of lovely sappy berry sweetness to it. It's a glass of wine that you can happily have with a stick of biltong and a sharp knife, just sitting watching the Springboks beating somebody or other.
So the sticker biltong for yourself to munch while you're watching the telly, and the sharp knife if the wife causes any trouble.
Yeah, for sure.
And 2011 sounds a bit young.
You know, they make wines so that they can be drunk young, and especially, you know, if the tannins are fairly soft to start off with. This is not a wine that you really want to keep much beyond sort of next year or the year after. They're made to be drunk young. They're not made to last.
Well, Dino Fegas from Prosopa, this is a slightly unusual blend. Obviously, Merlot's pretty well known in South Africa, Malbec a bit less so. The two together, I must say, this is the first time I've ever seen this particular blend. How about you?
I can't remember if I have seen another of just the two varietals.
Are you enjoying it?
It's very quaffable.
And we were talking in an earlier podcast about putting a wine by the glass on offer. Given that this is a fairly reasonable priced bottle, might this be a candidate if you're lining up a few wines to taste when selecting a wine by the glass?
Most definitely. The unusual blend would also be something of appeal.
And I assume that also you have to make sure it's something that's produced in reasonable commercial quantities, because you don't want to have to redraft and reprint a wine list halfway through the year.
There's nothing more annoying than telling a customer that you don't have stock. Ultimately, you're the one who looks bad. It's not the supplier or the wine farm.
Jeremy Sampson, the Douglas Green Merlot Malbec 2011. Marks out of 10.
Marks out of 10. I think it's extremely good value. It's extremely juicy. As Dino says, it's very quaffable. I think I'd give it about a 7 out of 10. I see Platters giving it 3 stars, so I don't know what that equates to. But I think, you know, Douglas Green has been making a lot of efforts. I think there's a lot of interest in slightly different cultivars. You know, South African consumers are accused of being perhaps a bit conservative. And I notice people like KWB are introducing new things as well all the time. And I think they're to be applauded at Douglas Green. Now, I think everyone knows the Merlot will be smooth, but the Malbec isn't that well known. I think a lot of people think of it as coming from Argentina, but of course it is from France, I think, originally, but very tasty. I don't know, Michael, if Neil Groenewald is still one of the senior winemakers, if not the senior winemaker at Douglas Green, but I came across him taking his MBA a couple of years ago at Graduate School of Business, and fascinating man to listen to.
I think Jakob Potgieter is the chap who's making the wines there now.
And Michael, Douglas Green, to my mind, and I could be entirely wrong, does have a slight cheap and cheerful ring to it. It doesn't mean the wines are bad. Do they have quite an array of stuff from very good to very good value?
Absolutely. Yeah, they've got two ranges. They've got what they call the Vineyard Creations, which is the individual variety wines, and then the Diversity range, which is blends. And this is this Merlot Malbec is one of those. And then they've got some other brands within the company as well. You know, Rib Shack Red and Beach House Rosé, etc. But I have been a great fan of Douglas Green wines. I think they offer excellent value, and particularly if you're sort of getting into wine drinking and wanting to explore a little bit, as Jeremy said, you know, Merlot Malbec is something unusual, and it's going to give you a different taste. If you're used to drinking Cabernet, Pinotage, Shiraz, and you're looking for something slightly different, you're not going to pay a hell of a lot of money for it, and you're going to get a great glass.
And Dino, we've spoken about having a bit of biltong with this. Obviously, as a restaurateur, you prefer to serve something with a little bit more creativity. Any ideas of, I would just think a simple steak and chips would go very well with this, but what are your thoughts?
You know, our Merlots in this country are very green, but I would actually, because of the spiciness of the Malbec, I would actually pair this with a gamey fish. The Malbec has these aromas that just bring out the herbs that I would crust a fish in and do it with and serve it with this wine.
Well, I can see the bottle's green, Dino, but the wine looks a bit red to me. Jeremy, what would you munch and crunch with this?
Well, here we are in Johannesburg. I wish we were actually in Dino's restaurant. We could say, right, let's go for it. Let's actually make it and try it. And I think, again, that's part of the fun. You're actually having a glass of wine. You're talking about things. You're almost workshopping it in executive language, but let's have some fun. Let's try something different. I think we need to experiment a little bit more and try these new flavors and new tastes and new pairings. Otherwise, as I say, we'll get left behind. We're too conservative.
And Michael, trip around the vineyards. This week's choice is Douglas Green. I couldn't work out where it was just from memory. Is it something that might be worth a visit for somebody who's heading down to the Cape?
Look, it's part of DGB, Douglas Green Bellingham. There are cellars in Wellington where the wines are made. So it's not like there's a place that one can go and visit. So this is the sort of wine that you buy from your supermarket shelf or in a wine shop.
Okay, Jeremy, you have regular meanders around the vineyards. As we come to the end of this podcast, an idea or two for somebody who may be heading either from overseas or down from Gauteng to the Cape. Give us an idea of one or two places that you think are well worth a visit.
I think my wife and I have now done this 10 or 11 times where we try and put together a trip where we perhaps over 10 days go to perhaps three or four places and you use one as a base. Obviously, one's got to go to perhaps the basics, the classics, no Franschhoek, Stellenbosch, don't forget Robertson. But in our travels, we've been up to Tulbagh. We've been out to the Arniston area and where we can see Raqqa and the beautiful wines of Elgin. So really, one's spoilt the choice. But it's beautiful countryside, lovely wines, lots of choice.
Dino Fergus, when you're having a sleepless night worrying about the wife and kids, is there a particular tranquil or really attractive corner of the Cape that that comes to mind?
I recently spent time at Cedarburg doing the harvest and working in the winery with David Nivot, and that was a fantastic experience. I mean, Cedarburg has the highest vineyards in the country. That's being challenged by somebody at the moment, but I still believe it's a beautiful part of the country. The rocks, when I looked at the photos of the place before I went, I thought this looks a bit dry, it looks a bit barren. Soon as I was there, it was just another experience.
And Michael, a final thought from you, one or two places where you would tell a friend, a visitor, go and check that out. Maybe not just for the wine tasting and the wine itself, but maybe for a nice picnic lunch. And any particular ideas?
John, I always think people tend to be rushing around so much and they have so little time. I'm sitting here looking out of my studio window onto the Constantia Mountains. And I mean, we are 20 minutes away from the center of the city. And there are some fabulous vineyards here. Steenberg, Batenverwachten, Klein Constantia, Groot Constantia, Eagle's Nest, Constantia Glen. I mean, one just goes on and on and on. And you can do it in a morning or an afternoon.
Well, many thanks, as always, to our wine expert, our wine fundi, Michael Olivier, joining us on the line from Cape Town. From me, John Fraser, many thanks, too, to our two studio guests, Dino Fegas from Prosopa. Dino, it's been great having you on our trio of podcasts. I hope you've found it useful, found a few wines that maybe might find their way onto your wine list.
Thank you, John. It was nice being here, and I definitely found some new wines that I could look at.
Jeremy Sampson, thanks once again. We will continue to enjoy your writings, and hopefully you'll be back on Divine Intervention before too long.
John, always looking forward to it.
Well, from me, John Fraser, from Michael Olivier in the Cape, and of course from our technical guru, Malcolm McDonald, many thanks for joining us on Divine Intervention.